It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. Of course, I am your host, Scotty Myers. So glad to have you along with me again this week. Of course, lots of geeky stuff to cover, and we will get to it all. But before I get into our typical Marvel, DC, Star Wars chatter, I did want to spend a little bit of time talking about Disney World. If you listen to the show, you know that's a super, super special place for me. I'm a huge fan of going to the parks, and I was actually just there not too long ago, and it was great. And I'm working on a video for that, kind of recapping the parks, how they've changed, some of the new features and whatnot if you're planning on going. I've been enough. I can hand along some tips and tricks and whatnot, and so I'm working on that. But you may have seen the stories in the news on this kind of feud that has popped up between Florida governor and Disney, partly all stemming from the so-called Don't Say Gay bill, which Disney spoke out about. Their employees kind of spoke out about, and this was a big deal for the governor. So the governor, in a very like five-year-old manner, has decided to exact revenge against Disney by trying to rescind their special district status. Now, basically, what that means is when Walt Disney bought the land, they basically created their own little special district. The government approved that for them because basically that means they get no taxpayer money for things like roads, fire departments, police department, anything like that. Disney, because of the special district that's called the Reedy Creek Improvement District, they pay for all of that. It's also why there's like no potholes when you go to Disney. It's insane. The roads are the smoothest ever. It's because they maintain them. They're not reliant on government money or government services to do that. So by dissolving the district, suddenly the people of, especially the counties near Walt Disney World, so Orange County and Escola County, they would be on the hook for all the money that it takes to maintain Disney. So this is one of those things where there's some people on some political affiliations that are loving what the governor did because it's like, yeah, you stick it to those bully woke corporations. And then there's other people going, you realize this is going to, you know, really screw over a lot of Florida residents because it's not cheap to maintain roads and a fire department and a police department and all that kind of stuff for a 25,000 acre piece of land. So if you read some articles, it sounds like it's a done deal that they're dissolving this. And I was watching some videos and apparently legally, again, just going by the videos I saw, I'm not a lawyer. This isn't legal advice in any way, shape or form. That's not going to happen. Basically, the way the rules are set, the people that own the land would have to agree on the dissolvement of the district. And I don't see Disney doing that. And then even if they somehow found a workaround on that, obviously there's court cases to fight it. But then also the counties involved could make a district for Disney again. So it kind of seems like it's a whole lot of nothing. It's a lot of posturing, basically. Because basically the governor didn't like being called out for his law that seemed kind of dumb to begin with. And the interesting thing is where it's going to be going forward, because they are the largest, Disney, the largest employer in Florida. And really, they are the number one reason people go to Florida. There's lots of places that you can get sun. There's only a couple places in the world you can go to Disney. So, yeah, it'll be curious to see how it is going forward. But if you were planning a Disney trip or something like that, and you were kind of a little concerned about what you saw in the news and if that was going to affect your trip, at least from what I can understand by people that are smarter than me, it's not going to. So for now, don't worry about it. If you were planning a trip, everything should be the same, at least for the far foreseeable future. So that is great news. And again, I'll have a video up shortly. If you're not on my YouTube channel, I highly recommend it. Of course I would, right? But do that. It's the Scotty Myers Show over on YouTube. And I'll have like a little insider tips and tricks video for you very, very soon. As soon as I finish some editing. On to the geek news of the week. Moon Knight continues to be badass for Marvel. It really does. Episode 4 may have been my favorite episode. Really well done. Great action. Still not a fan of the comedic Mr. Knight. I'm going to let it slide because I'm enjoying the rest of the show so much. If the rest of the show was average, man, I'd be ripping them a new one for that. But I'm going to let it slide because everything else is so cool. One of my favorite things about episode 4, it wasn't even part of the episode, to be totally honest. If you listen to the show, you know that I was harping on the mental health aspect of the character before we got to see the show. Like, was that going to be a key part of the character? Because Marvel has shied away from some of the difficult aspects of their characters before. Great examples, Tony Stark's alcoholism. They hinted at it in Iron Man 2, and then just it went away. There was never a mention of it again. So I was a little concerned that they may just hint at the mental health aspect of Moon Knight, but not delve into it. And they have delved into it big time. But what I loved about episode 4, you know, with Marvel, you're so used to having a little post-credit scene or something like that. Episode 4, the post-credit was basically a link to some mental health organizations and places that you can get some help if you're not feeling the best. And I thought that was really well done, and kudos to them for taking that little spot that has become sacred ground for Marvel and using it in a super positive way. So again, that just makes me love the people behind Moon Knight even more, that they're taking time to do that. So kudos to them. Very anxious to see how this thing is going to wrap up, and curious to see how they're going to incorporate Moon Knight into the rest of the MCU. I mean, he's definitely getting popular enough. He's a skin in Fortnite. I just spent time. Here's the thing. This is what Marvel has done so brilliantly well. Character like Moon Knight, honestly, the general public didn't give two shits about, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, especially before the show launched. Now, you know, I was hanging with my nephew and he was way into Moon Knight. Moon Knight's awesome. Love Moon Knight. It's just what they've done incredibly well, is taking these very lesser-known characters and making them popular. It's quite a sight to behold. It's something DC has to figure out. But again, now that Moon Knight is popular, it's going to be curious to see how they incorporate him into the MCU with, you know, Captain Marvel or Spider-Man or whoever he's going to hang out with next. That'd be very interesting. Speaking of Webhead, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, it has been delayed. Of course, it was the first of two animated movies that we were getting for Across the Spider-Verse. So the first one is now delayed from October 7th of this year to June 2nd of next year. The only reason for delay was more time to make it great. And I think it's the same reason why we saw some of the DC movies get delayed. It's just effects. A lot of these special effects houses are backed up because of COVID and so many things shut down, and then so many things ramped up production right around the same time as we kind of transitioned, not out of the pandemic, but we had that period where we were kind of working with the pandemic and trying to work with COVID better. They're all kind of finishing around the same time, so it has put a massive backlog for the special effects folks. So Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 is what it used to be called. Now it's just called Across the Spider-Verse. We're going to get that June 2nd of next year, 2023. And then that means Part 2 is now headed our way March 29th of 2024. So lots of Spider-Man content on the way. You're just going to have to wait a little bit for it while they, you know, figure out the effects. And speaking of Spider-Man and Sony and doing what they can to branch out their even live-action Spider-Verse, we have a date for Madam Web. Madam Web will be opening July 7th of 2023. They haven't even started production on this fucking thing yet. To me, this is a giant mistake by Sony. Outside of the Spider-Man films, Sony's Spider-Verse has been average at best. Because we're looking at two Venom movies, which are both meh. And the second one was super meh. Like, It was bad. It was like, I watched it on a plane and I wanted to jump off the plane. It was cringeworthy bad at times. And they wasted Woody Harrelson as Carnage. Criminal. What happened there? And then Morbius, I have not seen, but the reviews and the results have not been great. So Sony's live action Spider-Verse has been a mixed bag, but nothing spectacular, if you don't count the Spider-Man films itself, which, of course, Marvel has a hand in. So, to announce a movie date about 2 years away, and you haven't even started production on it yet, it feels like that movie's going to be rushed. No one is clamoring for Madam Web, right? Like, no one's beating down Sony's door going, where's my goddamn Madam Web movie? Nobody's doing that. So you have all the time in the world to get this movie done and maybe make it great. To now put a deadline on it and a time frame seems like a terrible idea. Just really not thinking this through. So hopefully I'm wrong and it turns out fantastic. I'm gonna be waiting with bated breath though to see that first trailer, because sometimes movies have longer production windows than 2 years and they still turn out rough, just because people were under a gun and were like, hey, I gotta get this finished. So we'll see, but I just don't think that's a good step in the right direction for a studio that is struggling a little to make solid films in the Spider-Verse. Over to Disney Plus, Laura Donnelly, she is reportedly playing Elsa Bloodstone in the Werewolf by Night show. That's going to be like an anthology show for kind of the darker side of Marvel, some of the horror-themed characters. That's really the only thing we kind of know as far as casting. We know a couple of the characters that'll pop up in it, obviously Werewolf by Night, but be curious to see how this whole show works and if it will. I'm sure it'll be part of the MCU just because they don't do anything really outside of it, but I'll be curious to see how it all fits into the MCU. And the biggest news this week for Marvel, I saved it for last, was the Thor Love and Thunder trailer. We finally got to see Thor's next outing, and it continues with Joke Thor, which we knew because it was Taika Waititi's follow-up to Ragnarok. But man, I watched this trailer, and sometimes you watch a trailer and you can go, you know what, people are going to enjoy that, but that is not for me. And that is how I felt watching the trailer. Natalie Portman, there's a quick little brief glimpse of her as Thor. Looked great. But overall, I've said it before, I will say it again, I will probably say it till the day I die, I am not a fan of Joke Thor. It just doesn't sit well with me. I don't think it fits the character. I know a lot of people enjoy it, I know I'm in the minority, but it just doesn't, that's not a character to me that should be a punchline. And the fact that that's what they've turned him into is a shame. And this movie just looks like, it's almost like Ragnarok did well, and they went, you know what? You can do whatever the fuck you want to do with Thor. And because it's kind of all over the place. And some of the trailer didn't even make sense to me. So there was, you know, if we all go back to Endgame, and there was Lebowski Thor, as I call him. Some people just call him Fat Thor. You know, and he's sitting around drinking, playing video games, whatever he's doing. He steps out, and if our memory serves, he had Stormbreaker in his hands. And he stepped out and he held it up, the lightning hit it, and he went from Fat Thor to Thor that we all know. Chris Hemsworth, jacked beyond belief. So in the Love and Thunder trailer, it looks like we see Fat Thor again, and it looks like we see him training to get back in shape. And it's like, why? We already saw him just instantly transform from out of shape Thor to in shape Thor because the lightning struck him. Why would he need to fucking train? I go to the gym constantly because I'm trying to stay in shape. If I could just stand outside and hold something up to the air and get struck by lightning and have abs, I would fucking do that. And that's what Thor did. So there's no need to have him training. I'm very confused by that shot in the trailer. Like, to me, that is a giant plot hole that people just seem to be skimming over. You know, because there are some cool shots. Like I say, Natalie Portman, Jane with the Thor helmet on and that. Awesome. Really cool. Jokey stuff with the Guardians of the Galaxy in there. You know, there's, again, people will like it. Not for me. Thor Love and Thunder will open to huge money, I do not doubt, on July 8th. I just won't be there opening night. I don't know that I'll ever be there, to be totally honest. Over to Star Wars. Let's go to a galaxy far, far away. Not a whole hell of a lot happening in the world of Star Wars. It's kind of quiet right now. Celebration is coming up at the end of May. We also get Obi-Wan at the end of May. So right now, a little quiet in the world of Star Wars. But a couple of things of note. Force Unleashed, amazing games. There is a Wicket Collector's Edition headed to Nintendo Switch. There's some physical copies, come with a lot of bonuses. If you have a Switch or you're just a massive Star Wars fan that doesn't mind spending a ton of money, because some of these are like $150, pre-orders are up now for Force Unleashed. And if you've never played it, oh my God, amazing games. Amazing games. So definitely worth a replay if you've played them already. And if you haven't, man, and you have a Switch, put these on your two playlist because they're wicked. The Star Wars show Acolyte, one that we don't know too much about, but we have a feeling it focuses more on the Sith. It is set to begin production on October of this year. So it should be hitting Disney Plus late in May 2023. Not sure how many episodes they're going to do for this one. And I'll be curious to find out more about it. I think we will find out a bit more about Acolyte at Star Wars Celebration, which also, speaking of Star Wars Celebration, rumor is that is when we will see the first trailer for Andor, the Rogue One prequel series that is coming, focusing on Cassian Andor. So Star Wars Celebration takes place May 26th to the 29th. Expect a lot of Star Wars news over those 3 days. I wish I was going to Star Wars Celebration, because I just have a feeling, especially they have that panel this year that's going to just be focusing on the future of Star Wars. I think there's a few announcements headed our way. I wouldn't even be shocked. I think they're in production on Ahsoka. Production may have even wrapped. I wouldn't even be shocked if we get some Ahsoka. Not a full-on trailer, but maybe just some scenes. Maybe like some teasers. I could see that happening. But the Star Wars stuff has been such a massive hit on Disney Plus for Disney that I can only imagine that there's more on the way. So keep your eyes and ears open for stuff May 26th through the 29th. Of course, we also get Obi-Wan in that window, but lots of Star Wars there. Let us switch over to DC. First thing, The Batman hit HBO Max. Huge hit. First day on HBO Max, 720,000 U.S. homes streamed The Batman on day one. You think about what that would be for box office. Now, yeah, some of those 720,000 are people watching it for the second, third, fourth time, most definitely. But a lot of those people are probably people that wanted to go in the theater and either knew it was coming quickly to HBO Max, which I think this very short, like 48-day release window is going to bite them in the ass when it comes to box office, or just people that were curious. You know, there's definitely a segment of the audience that has felt burnt by DC, and DC has to kind of win them back. So when they see The Batman, which is fucking brilliant, it hopefully will win them back to some of the other projects that are on the way. And of course, that 720,000 was a record for HBO Max. So great, great returns for The Batman. Also, speaking of other projects on the way, Shazam is set to do a few reshoots, which is normal for a movie and typically not even something worth mentioning. However, the main reason why I bring it up is the Shazam Fury of the Gods reshoot schedule kind of lines up with the Black Adam reshoot schedule. Now, if you go back a few weeks, I don't want to say I'm a genius or anything, But when DC reshuffled their movies and moved Black Adam to later this year, moved Shazam up into this year, pushed Aquaman and The Flash back to next year, I said this could really work out for them if they put some sort of tie-in. Black Adam comes out first, so maybe your last scene or post-credits, if you want to do it that way, is a Shazam-Black Adam meetup of some sorts. They are classic villains of one another. They both get their power from the same source, so it makes total sense to do that. And now that the reshoot schedules kind of line up, I'm wondering if the very smart folks at DC, I must say they're very smart because they, if they're doing what I think they're doing, they're using my idea, are going to do that. Going to create some sort of crossover scene, whether it's at the end of Black Adam, even if you did it at the end of the Shazam flick. But I just think if you did it at the end of Black Adam, you would have more people enticed to go see the sequel to Shazam. You would effectively be doing what Marvel does, where it's like, hey, this is what's coming next. And usually you got to wait quite a long time, but you don't have to wait a couple months to see Shazam. And then maybe the Shazam post-credit scene continues the little bit of post-credits that we get from Black Adam. Just saying, it kind of lines up, could make a ton of sense. I'm hopeful that that's what they're up to. Really looking forward to both of those. I have asked and tweeted out, I didn't get a reply though, which is like, when the fuck are we getting a Black Adam trailer? Like a proper trailer? Because I know the movie comes out October, there's lots of time, but it's April. Dropping a nice little minute teaser right about now would be pretty sweet. It'd be pretty sweet. So hopefully we get to see some more Black Adam sooner rather than later. Something we are going to be seeing on HBO Max, Dead Boy Detectives. These characters popped up in Doom Patrol on a season 3 episode, and now they're basically getting a spinoff. If you're not familiar with the Dead Boy Detectives, it's couple of kids, Edwin Payne, Charles Roland. They're two dead British teenagers, and then their very alive friend, Crystal Palace. They kind of basically are detectives in that. So this is headed to HBO Max. It's been ordered for series. Don't know exactly when it will hit, but they have an 8-episode order, and they are describing it as a vintage detective series, only darker and on acid. So, definitely something to look forward to. I think it's going to be a trip. All right, let's get into some of the bizarro DC news this week. And I say bizarro in the loosest form of the word and not Superman's villain. Ezra Miller got in trouble again in Florida. He was arrested again. He had that altercation with the couple at the bar. They dropped their charges, but then apparently he was at a house party. Apparently they asked him to leave. He threw a chair. It hit someone in the head, and she required stitches that was hit in the head. And Ezra was arrested again. There's definitely problems there. Now, I've seen some internet reporters, like Grace Randolph, who I am not a fan of. I definitely think she has an agenda. Most of the times I always hearken back to how much she badmouthed Birds of Prey before it came out. In fact, even doing entire YouTube videos on fake plots of the movie that sounded so ludicrous and shitty that if I wasn't so invested in DC and superheroes, it would have made me skip the film. So I definitely think she has an agenda, but she did say about Ezra Miller that sources close to them have kind of unveiled some recent life things that it's not justifying the behavior, but it might help explain the behavior. There's no justification for, you know, violent outbreaks, but it may explain why that is happening. I still think it's a situation where Ezra Miller needs people around them to help them. Whether that's with psychiatric help, medication help, I don't know, because I don't know the 100% situation. But again, as I said before on this, when I look and read the headlines involving Ezra Miller and I read the stories involving Ezra Miller, it feels like someone that needs help. And I'm just hoping someone in their circle is actively trying to get them the help they need. And that's really pretty much all I can say on that. Flash doesn't come out till much later next year. So I don't think there's any reason to worry about that film right now. I've seen some people, I mentioned this before online, going like, oh, you need to recast The Flash. I don't think so right now for a couple of reasons. One, the movie's done. And two, let's see what happens going forward. You know, if you think someone having a hard time is justification for them never having a career again, then Robert Downey Jr. would never be Iron Man. A ton of actors would never, you know, they would have made one movie and disappeared off the planet. So again, let's see what happens over the next little while before any panic buttons are pressed. I think the hand needs to be close to the panic button, but I think first you make a phone call for some help. And that would be my hope. The other weird thing going on right now involving a star of a DC property is, of course, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial is happening. It is bizarrely riveting to watch. I did watch some of Johnny Depp's testimony online, and I was kind of enthralled and really, like, again, I haven't heard all of her side of the story, but listening to his side of it, I felt really bad for the guy. Really, really bad. He definitely was coming across like a broken man. But because of the way the trial has played out so far, it is definitely not painting Amber Heard in a good light. So people are saying, should she even be in Aquaman 2? Again, movie's pretty much done. And we don't know how much she is in it to begin with, right? She might not be in it that much. I don't even think they've done the reshoots yet for Aquaman. So it is possible, if she's not that central to the film, that you could cut around her and reshoot around her if you wanted to cut her out of the movie. I have a feeling they won't do that. She'll still be in Aquaman 2. But if I were a betting man, I would bet a good chunk of money that come Aquaman 3, there'll be someone else in the role of Mira. Unless this trial takes such a dramatic turn, that's kind of my thought right now. We'll have to see how it all plays out, but if she even makes it to the final cut of Aquaman 2, based on where this sits today as I record this, we'll be curious to see if she makes Aquaman 3. And the big kind of news this week was the new chiefs of the Discovery Warner Brothers company talking about DC overall, like DC properties, DC films, DC comic books, everything. And their overall take basically was that it has been a tad mismanaged. And as much as I have loved the vast, vast majority of projects that we have gotten so far, it's hard to argue with that. There's definitely been some mismanagement of the characters, some mismanagement of storylines, and all that. So they want to do a complete overhaul of DC Entertainment. It sounds like they want to spin it off into its own thing, much the way like DC Films would be its own thing, kind of the way Marvel is at Disney, right? Like Kevin Feige oversees Marvel Studios, and he kind of oversees everything that happens under that banner. And it kind of sounds like they want someone to do the same thing for DC. So things that are currently, you know, in the can or being worked on, like Black Adam, Shazam 2, Wonder Woman 3, Aquaman, The Flash, it seems like it doesn't sound like anything is going to get canceled. It just seems like things may be becoming put under a more cohesive umbrella. In fact, one rumor came out that there was a former 20th Century Studios and Paramount executive, Emma Watts, was apparently asked if she was interested. She declined the position. But it's be curious to see what's going on. One of the terms that was used is that they lack a coherent creative and brand strategy, and I would agree with that. You know, when you see such different properties, like if you look at the Joker film compared to Wonder Woman 84, you know, yes, they're not in the same universe, but that's very different brand management. So it's, they need somebody at the helm, right? And they also mentioned that A-list characters like Superman haven't been used to their greatest potential and are in need of rejuvenating. And at the same time, they've done a good job of kind of elevating some characters like Harley Quinn to a bigger and more prominent role. I would say even Wonder Woman to a point. I know she's part of the Trinity and has been around forever, and definitely Aquaman too have been elevated recently by Warner Brothers. But saying Superman hasn't been used to his greatest potential is 100% on the nose. You're talking about the granddaddy of all superheroes, right? The top of the heap. You talk superheroes, it's like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Those are kind of your top three. And the fact, and this isn't to slight Doctor Strange in any way, but to say that like a Doctor Strange movie is coming out and there's more people excited about that than maybe the last outing of Superman, that's a little fucked up. And that's a little upside down. One way to not have an issue with Superman is to not kill him in the second movie. that's just a little thing. Now, having said this, I don't know if they're thinking of recasting Superman. I don't know what the plan is there. I, for one, love Henry Cavill as Superman, and I think he is a fan of the character. So if you can keep Cavill on board, I don't think that is a terrible idea. As a matter of fact, I think it's a great idea. And I would love to see him as the Superman full of hope and helping to guide humanity that he was always intended to become in the stories they were telling. Just get there. Don't take four movies or five movies to get to that point. Just start there. Because that's what people expect out of Superman. And, you know, other big DC characters like Green Lantern and that, they haven't been used properly either. So there's a lot of good, at least it sounds like it, coming out of this Discovery Warner Brothers merger. We'll have to see how it all shakes out. But the fact that they are already, you know, just a couple of weeks into getting the company, and they're already saying, like, listen, this hasn't been managed the way we want to manage it, and we're going to make some changes, and we're going to revitalize Superman and stuff. That all sounds like steps in the right direction to me. So very positive. Hopefully they flesh it out. I can't even think of anybody. Like, I'm just sitting here in the back of my head going, who else would I recommend to play Superman? I can't even think of anybody. I really can't right now. Not a clue. So just get Cavill back. Give him the blue suit. I don't care if the trunks are on the inside or the outside. That doesn't matter to me. Just make him the big blue Boy Scout and have him fight Brainiac first, just because Brainiac deserves some screen time. There we go. Helping Warner Brothers Discoveries every week here on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, spread the word. You've been doing a fantastic job of it, and I thank you for it. Also, don't forget, give us a rating or a review on the Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, anything like that. Still don't know why Spotify has us as true crime. We never talk about true crime, but somehow that happened. I don't know how. Yeah, trying to get that fixed. Anyway, again, thank you so much. So until we chat again, have a great week.